Friday from driving, I went through 9 speed traps or radar traps on Friday by the state police on Route 99. 9 of them going down to Altoona and back. And folks, they were being tricky, okay? There were a couple places where they had a speed trap, and a half a mile down the road, they were pulling another one. So that after you put your brakes on and got through the first one, and then you thought it was time to speed up and get back up to speed, they were there to get you again, okay? So policemen work double. I got thinking about farmers, and especially dairymen. You don't ever get a day off, do you not, okay? So, and I wrote down here, and preachers get the opportunity to preach to half a crowd or something like that, because reading what that one man said. But again, I don't know how you do it. How many of you, Labor Day is a big picnic day tomorrow or not? You know, I think for some it's supposed to be. Families get together. I know they must, because a lot of families are away this weekend. But I think for most of us, it's just kind of that day between summer is over officially now and we are back at it. School's back in and everything's back in. So that's what it is. So again, that's where we get Labor Day. I did do a quick study on Labor Day. Where did it come from? And again, one article that I read said that President Grover Cleveland, tried to start a Labor Day because there was a union strike in his presidency, the Pullman strike, and I guess he had to break it with U.S. Marshals and the military or something like that, and it kind of became a very bad time. There was a lot of fighting and damage that went on, and later in his presidency, they thought it would be a good idea to initiate a Labor Day and a day that we honor people who work in the unions to try to get him back in the good graces of the unions that he kind of smashed or broke a couple years before. So somebody thought that's where Labor Day comes from, him trying to get back on the good side of laborers after he smashed a group. And then later, again, Congress passed it. And they were thinking about doing it on May 1st, but then they also remembered in the history... See, was it the Haymarket riots or whatever that took place? But that was May 1st, and they thought that was a bad time to try to do it. So they went to the end of summer, and that's where we have Labor Day. If anything I just said to you is wrong, then I read the wrong article. But again, that's where Labor Day comes from. A president trying to get some votes is really what it was, to get labor back on his side is what he was trying to do. But I got thinking about labor in the Bible, and as I read the book of Ecclesiastes and got depressed, you know, but about labor. Wow, look, I work hard and it's just all for nothing is what it seems to say, is how it all works there. And again, that's where we get those phrases. We came into this world naked and we're going out what? Naked, and what are we taking with us? Nothing that we worked for. Okay, it's all going to stay behind. Again, I've always heard the joke, how much, does anybody know how much John D. Rockefeller left behind when he died? All of it. Okay. He left it all behind. I don't know what the dollar amount was, but he definitely left it all behind. But again, one of the things that I talk about and we think about, and we did some Sunday school lessons about heaven, if you remember in our Sunday school class, and I know the New Horizons did it. Here's the question I have for you, though. When we come into the new heavens and the new earth, is there going to be work to be done? Is there going to be work to be done? You know, and that's a tough question, because for most of us, work is sort of equated with sin. It's one of those things that it's going to be eradicated from the new heavens and the new earth. But just remember this. There was a time when God created the heavens and the earth, and he had the Garden of Eden, and he put man, okay, Adam and Eve here. And if you look with me in Genesis chapter 2, notice what it says in Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to what? Keep it. What's that sound like to you? Now I'm blowing your eternity. Oh, Pastor, you're killing it. It sounds a little bit like work. However, I do know this, okay? There is certain work that we do, all right? And to some of us, it's not work. Does anybody have a job that you do that, you know, that a task? I don't want to say a job, but is there a task that you do that you literally like to do it or whatever? Okay, what? Charles, you got one, do you? And well, you're what? You're 92 years old, Charles, and you're still working, right? You haven't quit? Yeah. You got a task you like to do. I see Carol and Susan. What do you like? Mowing grass. Okay, you got one of those. Hey, those zero turn mowers. I told people I cut over to the academy for what, 5 hours one day or whatever on a zero turn, and I told people that was like being on an ATV for the day. Okay, I had fun. I mean, those things are fun. You know, Mel, am I right about that, Mel? There's a little bit of fun riding those things around. So when somebody says, hey, can you cut some grass? I got a zero-turn mower. I'm in. I'm in. I had a lot of fun with that. But, you know, there are different tasks that we do. And really, when we do them, they're not as bad as we think they are. I know that my wife, you give her a pair of snips and scissors or whatever, and she'll go out and start tending the flowers, and she loves doing the flower work or whatever. And I have no idea what to snip and what not to snip, so I just give her the scissors, and she goes out there and has a good time. Okay? She's not here, so I can talk about it. She don't like pulling weeds, so I get the weeds, but she does all the snipping and keeping things clean, and she loves that out there, okay? But there's other things that we like. I've said this before, okay? Don't take me literally, though. One of the things in this world I really like to do is preach. And I found a church who's willing to pay me money to preach. I do it for free. I love doing it, okay? I'd do it for free. I'd preach for free. If people say, oh, well, I preach for free. I love doing it. That's what I like doing. So if somebody says, what task do you like most? I like telling people about Jesus, reading the Bible, telling it to people. So again, there are jobs. And again, I think maybe the Garden of Eden work that they did wasn't quite so bad, because what happened then? When they sinned, work turned hard. Because I believe as you go there, again, as you're there, as we study it going bad there or whatever, then all of a sudden, you know, you're going to now tend and keep the garden. And what's going to happen? You're now going to sweat. Did we just hear that from Jason or whatever? So probably as they were looking at each other, they were saying what? What's sweat? What's sweat? What do you mean we're going to sweat? You know, and the sweat of your brow, and your hands are going to hurt, and thistles are going to get you. And by the way, in our garden, okay, we have one of these. I have a cactus on the one side of my house. It looks like a cactus. I think it's a cactus, all right? And it's one of the worst things in the world. Because it gets weeds around it. And yesterday I tried to pull a couple weeds around it. And I got in there real close to it and got a hold of a weed and pulled it out ever so gently. And it didn't get me. And I was like, wow. 4 hours later, I was like, man, my hand really hurts. And I looked on it, and there were the little spines all in my hand or whatever. I guess I touched it and didn't even know it. So they didn't have, and I hope when I go to heaven, we don't have one of those things in heaven, okay? Because every time I tried to weed around it, it gets me, all right? But it has the most beautiful yellow flowers, and my wife would miss it if I throw it away, okay? I can't do that and not get away with it. Maybe I'll gas it, and it'll just die, and I'll tell her I don't know what happened or something. But you even get near that thing, and man, it gets you every time. And so again, thorns and thistles and these things are coming up. But I put down here that I think God has always honored work. God has always honored work. Again, when you go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, what did God do? Before we were even created, God was what? Working. He worked for 6 days and then he did what? He rested. So God is a God of work. God is a God of work. He enjoys work. So again, from the beginning, God gave men work to do. When Jesus came to earth, Jesus was a worker. Now, I know that he had specific verses that he said, I came to do the work of my Father. And he did the work of his Father. But besides that, again, if you want to look it up, I believe it's in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. Okay, when somebody labeled Jesus, they basically said this, is not this the carpenter? Jesus had a job. And he was known as a carpenter. I know when you go to Matthew 13, they refer to him as the son of the carpenter. But in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, they said, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? And then from there, they list his brothers and say that he also has sisters. So Jesus was known as a carpenter. Now, again, I don't see Kenny here tonight, Kenny Saxon. I don't know, do I see any other carpenters? But I see men that know how to do carpentry work. Carpentry work, easy or hard? What do you think? There's some hard work in carpentry, is there not? Jesus is a hard worker. He was a hard worker. I even thought about this when Jesus was born into this world. Okay? Who was the announcement made to, first of all? People who were working. Who were those men? They're shepherds. Okay? And I think it really even says that in Luke chapter 2:8, there were out in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So when the announcement came for Jesus, who received it first? Not that those who were in bed, not that those that were in the inns and celebrating or having a good time. Jesus was announced, first of all, to people who were at work. Jesus himself was a worker. What kind of men did Jesus gather around him? You know, we don't know the jobs of all the disciples. But when Jesus gathered men around him, what kind of men did he gather around him? Fishermen. Okay. Now, I don't know a whole lot about commercial fishermen, but I've watched it on TV. Anybody watch it on TV? What's the show on TV called? The Deadliest Catch. Anybody watch that? Does it look easy or hard to work up there on those Alaskan boats or whatever? What are they? Crab boats or whatever? Look easy or hard? Man, that's hard work. Jesus gathered around him fishermen. Gathered around him fishermen. A tough group of men, did he not? I know, Tony, you're from Fall River, I'm New Bedford, but a lot of fishing goes on up there. Go on down to the docks and see what kind of men are down at the docks. Tough group. Hard workers. So we know that Jesus surrounded himself with men who were workers. Four of them we know were fishermen. Matthew's the other one that we know of, and he had a tough job, did he not? He may have not had the physical job the other men did, but Matthew was a tax collector. How many of you in Israel in Jesus' day would want the job of being a tax collector? I mean, when they talked about the dregs of society, who were the two groups that they put in there? Basically, the publicans and the sinners, or the prostitutes is what they would mention. And they put them right down there. Who would want that job? Okay? A hard job to do. But again, here's a man who did it. And so I believe that Jesus gathered men like that around him because he was going to give them a new job to do. I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. Easy job or hard job? A hard job. Because if you start studying the life and you hear it in our Easter play, most of those men who got the job of being a fisher of men, how did it end? They didn't really get to retire, did they? They didn't get to live somewhere in luxury. Well, I guess you could say John did, right? He got to go on an island vacation. How many of you thought that was an island vacation being out on the island of Patmos, which looks like a rock, does it not? Again, hard life being abandoned out there. So again, work is in the Bible. Jesus is a worker. He surrounded himself with people who worked. The announcement came to men that worked. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 7, please. Luke chapter 10 and verse 7. Again, these are words that Jesus spoke. And I think these are just some principles about work. Luke chapter 10 and verse 7. That we need to keep in mind. Notice Jesus said in Luke 10 and verse 7, "And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house." Now I know that he was sending his disciples out to do the ministry, but right in the middle of it, he makes a statement that's right there, "The laborer is worthy of his hire." And again, I think that what we need to do is make sure that we understand that work is an honorable thing to do, and those that work, okay, since it's an honorable thing to do, need to be paid, and need to be paid right. Now, I'm not up here taking the side of management or labor. And as I look out here, I don't know, maybe some of you say that you're management and some of you say that you're labor. I'm not here to take sides for either one. We'll talk about both or whoever. But I do believe that when Jesus says the labor is worthy of his hire, I believe that that's true. That, again, as people work, they ought to be paid a decent wage for what they do. And you might be saying, well, Pastor, you're sounding like a union representative now. Okay, maybe I do. Okay, I watched this week, what was it? In the big cities, some of the McDonald's, Wendy's and all that, they went on strike because they want to unionize and make, what, $15 an hour or whatever? Okay. I don't know. I was down in Altoona, and after I picked up my wife, I told her, I said, well, I picked up my wife and dropped my daughter off. That's what I did. Did I not, Melissa? I think that's what I did. And I told her, man, I am really thirsty. So I stopped in McDonald's to get an iced tea, you know, dollar iced tea. And I walked up to the counter, and I stood there, and I stood there, and I stood there. And they were all just kind of looking at people, and I stood there, and I stood there. And I about was ready to say, and you people want $15 an hour for what? But I just kept my mouth shut, okay? That's all I could think. And you people want $15 an hour for what? Because they just weren't waiting on me. And then finally they got around to waiting on me. And I thought, okay, $15 an hour, and you sure weren't snapping on that one there. And I was thinking about walking over to Sheetz because it was right next door. I almost went to Sheetz. And I was saying, well, if you're not going to wait on me, I'm heading for Sheetz. But then they finally did, you know. But again, people ought to make a wage. And it's fair to pay them. And Jesus said that the labor is worthy of his hire. And again, so work is not a bad thing. It's good to get paid. But sin made work unpleasant, did it not? If you're looking for that, that's Genesis 3:17-19. Again, thorns and thistles. Again, if you're going to eat sweat of the face of thy brow. So work gets hard. How many of you do work like Jason did, and if you're working, all of a sudden you get real hot or whatever? Anybody sweat real hard or whatever? I don't know about you, but the heat doesn't bother me real bad. But I sweat really well. Do you think maybe the two go hand in hand? I'm not sure, okay? But I'll tell you what, I start to sweat pretty good. Again, the other day they had me down in a pit. Or they didn't have me. I went down willingly. But I went into a pit at the school to replace the water meter down there. I was down in a pit. It was hot, and there's not a breath of air down in a pit. Okay? Can I tell you, as I was working, water was running down off my nose or whatever. And I thanked Adam for that. Okay? So, again, we got to work by the sweat of our brow. And that's where it was coming from. We've got to do that. Okay? But sin changed things. Again, in America today, I think sometimes what our mindset is something like this. We want to do the least amount of work and get the maximum amount of money. Is that kind of where we're headed to? In fact, in a lot of times when you talk to people in America or you just see the mindset out there, there's a lot of people that want to do nothing and what? Still get paid for it. Do nothing and get paid for it. Folks, that's not the biblical way. A laborer is worthy of his hire. But in order to get the hire, you've got to do what? You've got to work. Go with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, do you know these verses? Again, you probably know them. If you don't know where they're found, you'll find them here. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 to 12, please. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10 to 12. Verse 10 starts out, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work, and then what? Eat your own bread." So, again, I understand different things with unemployment, with the government, and stopgap measures and all that. But I do tell people this. We give you a free education in America. Use it. Acquire skills you need to go get a job. Does that make sense to you? Go get a job. Because I would rather not have to keep you up. All right? Go get a job. What was it? I think it was Sean, if it was you. But I think it was you. I think you said that basically in the mornings you used to live somewhere else, but in the mornings you have to get up and go to work because all your neighbors depend on it. Did you say that one time? Okay, just a few of them. Okay, not all of them. But I remember, geez, well, I got to get up and go to work because all my neighbors are dependent on me. Okay? And again, that's sometimes how we feel when we see people that, you know, should work and are not working. But again, people need to work there. So again, work is honorable. We need to do it. Again, however, the other idea is, though, if you say, well, Pastor, you said that about people want to work and get nothing, but then if you're on the management side, what does management want to do? Management wants to get the maximum amount of work out of people and do what? Not pay them enough. Okay, so we've got two mindsets. You know, somebody wants to get something for nothing, and that's where they both are. And I think we need to come to a biblical point of view for both of them, where work is honorable and we ought to work hard. And as people work hard, they get paid for what they do. They get paid a decent wage for what they do. The labor is worthy of his hire, is what Jesus said. Jesus has said there. So again, sometimes we have this position, an adversarial relationship between the two. Again, but again, I think work ethic needs to start young. I don't know. I don't know how it's done today. I don't know what people are doing. I don't have kids at home anymore. Okay, but do kids get chores to do with no pay? Do we still do that, chores with no pay, or do they have to be paid? Okay? Somehow my parents never got the message that when your kids did chores, you were supposed to pay them. Okay? So I didn't get the message that when my kids did chores, they were supposed to get paid. So I literally said to my children, well, since my parents, blame it on my parents. I said, blame it, they didn't pay me, so when you do chores, you're not getting paid, okay? Which just gives them a work ethic that sometimes you get work to do. And you may not get paid, okay? I do tell people, I think it's, you know, I say of my children or whatever, but both of them now have ministry jobs where pay is not a big concern. Their pay is not a big concern. What is a concern to them is the work that they do. and the ministry that they do, but the pay is not a big concern to them. They're willing to work. And again, I said to them, I said, well, it's kind of the way it was whole your life at my house. You worked and I didn't pay you. So why start now? Okay, just go ahead and keep working. And God takes care of people. He always will. And again, we're happy as God is taking care of them. But again, let's just work and let God take care. Let me go to point number two, okay, which is the American work system isn't always the Christian way. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. Ephesians 6, 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. I'm going to stop here, folks. I'm not advocating slavery. But I'm basically talking here about employees and employers. So, and servants, be obedient to them that are your master according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and signals of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is the respect of persons with him. Again, as I look here, whether you are on the side of management, whether you're on the side of labor, whichever side you choose or whatever you are or whatever, you know, the idea is who you're really working for. The job that you're doing, who are you really doing it for? And here Paul is telling us, do it as unto who? The Lord. Again, not as men's pleasers and eye service here or whatever. Don't just work hard. And I know it's a joke on the job sometimes when you see the boss show. Oh, the boss is showing up. Act like you're working. But really, as a Christian, when the boss shows up, should you start working anymore? You should already be working as much as you can. Again, you ought to do the best you can. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. made a statement like this. All else being equal, if you put a Christian and a non-Christian in the same job, the Christian should outwork the non-Christian every time. Now, that's all else being equal, which means their talents and abilities, but the Christian should outwork the non-Christian every time. I kind of tend to think that should be true. I would think that a man who hires Christians, a person who hires Christians, should have good workers or whatever. Years ago, some of you here joined me, or I joined you, I guess I should say that, back in the 80s. We counted cars up at Penn State. Okay, I know Walt, you were with me, where you were there with us. Okay, Pastor Herscher was there. Anybody else here? Do I see counted cars? I know, but you counted cars. Did you, Phil? Phil, you did. I remember you. You always had a chair and a mug of coffee or something like that. You were prepared. You were better off than I was. But you know, when we got up there for our workers' meeting, as we looked around, okay, can I say that it was almost all Christians? Was it not? I mean, those of us who counted cars, it was almost all Christians. All right. And Pastor Herscher was there. Didn't Ace came up or whatever? Mr. Pyle, Dr. Baylor. I mean, we were all there. And the man who hired us basically said, the job that you men do, there's a flawed system. And because I hire Christians, the system works. Because I remember one time counting cars. And then the man who collected the money, as we were walking across the parking lot, he said, I can take $300 out of the bag here and split it with you if you'll take 100 cars off your counter. And folks, that's all it took for me to just say, instead of counting 700 cars, I only counted 600 cars, and it was $3 a car back then, I think. And he said, I can take $300 out of the thing, give you 150, I get 150, and if you show your clicker having 600 rather than 700, we can get away with it. And you know what? He was right. We could get away with it. Because that's the flaw of the system. If the two people knew each other and worked together, they could steal the money. It was easy to do. But you know why all of us who hired were Christians? Because he knew we wouldn't do that. By the way, that man didn't work the next game. Okay? I reported him in and said, you know, because here was my thing. I was thinking, what if he's some kind of employee and he comes up with this scenario? Even though I don't take the money, he then turns me in for not what? Turning him in, and I get in trouble. So I was honest and said, hey, this guy tried to cut a deal coming through the parking lot. And they're like, well, we've been suspicious about him. And he was released right there from doing it. He hired Christians. A man hired Christians because he knew he could depend that the job would be done right and to the best of the ability. And again, that's where it needs to be. Again, do these verses describe most workplaces where people love each other, work hard, take care of one another, respect one another? Is this the kind of workplace? And I hope this should be the workplace that we have in America, but so many times it falls short, does it not? Here's something. Ephesians 4, we're in Ephesians 6. Go to Ephesians 4:28. Here's a verse that basically we don't use it for the reason I'm going to give you. Ephesians 4:28. Usually when you turn to Ephesians 4:28, you talk about a different topic than the one I'm going to give you. 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Watch this. Most of the times when we turn to this verse, why do we turn to this verse? We're talking about somebody who steals. Instead of stealing, go get a job. Okay? And work honestly. Good teaching. Good teaching. What's the end of the verse says, though? For those who have a job, what do you do with the money? It's in that verse. For those of you that have a job, what do you do with the money? You give to people that what? They have need. We don't usually teach it from that verse, do we? If you've got a job, and you're making money, and you see somebody that has a need, here's a biblical principle you better watch out for. You need to give. You need to give. Now, again, I know the questions that come from this. But if I give, then what's going to happen to me? I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. God's going to take care of you. I guarantee He's going to take care of you. All right? I'm not here to preach wealth and all that, and that if you give, you know, if you give $1,000, God's got to give you $10,000. I don't teach that. I just teach if you give, when the opportunities come, God will make sure you're taken care of. Do you believe that or do you not believe that? Okay, I tell people, I believe it goes as far as this, that sometimes God will take care of your car, that it won't break down maybe. So you gave money here, you don't have money to fix your car, so God will just take care of it. It's like the children of Israel coming through the wilderness. Their shoes didn't break down. They had the same clothes. They didn't get holes in them or whatever. God will take care of you. Okay, and so the principle for me, Ephesians 4:28, if you work and if you have some money, okay, when a need comes up, what should you do? Give. Please do that. Okay? That's just a great principle. Give. And to those in need. And God's going to take care of you. And by the way, you will learn another principle from the Bible. It is more blessed to give than receive. If you think it's hard to open your wallet and give something out, start it. God will bless you. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. So again, I think that's something that we need to do here like that. Again, the Thessalonians, we just read about them. They were people that refused to go get a job. So if they refused to go get a job, when somebody was in need, they had what? Nothing to help these people with. So again, maybe you might want to set apart a certain part of your salary or some of the money that you make or something that you get or something like that. Again, I tell people, one of the principles my wife and I have always done through the years, okay? And it's sort of like this. Unexpected money always finds some of it to somebody else who has a need. Does that make sense to anybody? You know, I have my salary. That's expected money. You know what I'm saying? As you run your budgets through. Okay, but if somehow unexpected money comes in, we didn't see this coming, or hey, we got some money unexpectedly, okay, we're not allowed to keep the whole thing. We got to go give it to somebody else. Just a good principle to do. Okay, now watch this. What if I told God this? God, if you ever give me unexpected money, I'm never giving any of it to anybody. If you're God right now, what's the main thought going through your mind? Then why give him unexpected money? But if your thought is, hey, if I get unexpected money, I'll use a portion of it to help somebody else out. God might be like what? Hey, there's somebody over here that has a need, so I'll go ahead and give it to this person because I know that they'll do what then? Give it to that person. Think about it. God works on principles sort of like that. So if God knows that somebody needs money, He may supply it to you, knowing you'll give it. Why would He give it to you if you're just going to hoard it and not do anything? So again, it's a good thing when you have money to make sure that you use it for others. Again, the last point I'm going to get in the job that you have is do the best you can at the job you're given. Now, I know that I read something somewhere that if you become irreplaceable at your job, you can't be promoted. I read that one. You know, just remember that irreplaceable people cannot be promoted. I laughed about that, but didn't worry about it. Do the best job you can. Do the best you can with what God has given to you. Again, we've got verses like that, Colossians chapter 3, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not on the man. Verse 24, Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Again, I just kind of put down in my note, Christian employees should do the best they can and maybe even do more than what's expected. Do a little bit more than what's expected. That would be a good thing to do. Again, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and prophets. If you were an employer, what kind of employees would you like to have working for you? People that did a little more than were expected, or people that only did what was on the job description or what they were told for the day? If you'd like to hire people like that, then since if you're an employee, then go ahead and give a little bit more of the Lord for the Lord there. Do the best you can. So again, do good work. Do the best you can. Make the work as good as you can. And again, God says there that I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to end with a little story that I found a while back, and I thought, boy, I'm just going to keep that story in the files and bring it out someday about doing the best you can. Again, I did not go to verify it that it's true. I just take it that it is. If you want to look it up to see if it's true or not, I just didn't take the time. But this is the story. The USS Astoria was the first U.S. cruiser ship to engage in the Japanese during the Battle of Savo Island in World War II. It was a night action fought August 8th and 9th in 1942. Although the Astoria scored two hits on the Imperial flagship, the Chokai, she was badly damaged and sank shortly after noon on August 9th. Okay? About 2 o'clock that morning, a young Midwestern, Signalman Third Class Elgin Staples, was swept overboard by the blast when the Astoria's number 1 8-inch gun turret exploded. Wounded in both legs by shrapnel and in semi-shock, Staples was kept afloat by a narrow life belt that he managed to activate with a simple trigger mechanism. At around 6 o'clock that morning, 4 hours later, that same morning, Signalman Third Class Elgin Staples was rescued by a passing destroyer and returned to the Astoria, whose captain was attempting to save the cruiser by beaching her. The effort failed, and Staples, still wearing the same life belt, found himself back in the water. Close to 12 noon, Navy Seaman Staples was picked up again, this time by the USS President Jackson. He was one of 500 survivors of the battle who were evacuated to Nomiya. Safely on board the ship, for the first time, Staples closely examined the life belt that had served him so well. It had been manufactured by Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio, and it bore a registration number. Given home leave, Navy Seaman Staples told his story and asked his mother, who worked for Firestone, about the purpose of the number on the belt. She replied that the company insisted on personal responsibility for the war effort and that the number was unique and assigned to only one employee. Staples remembered everything about the life belt and quoted the number. It was his mother's personal code and affixed to every item she was responsible for building. Do you suppose Mrs. Staples was glad that she had performed her duty well? That's pretty good, is it not? When I thought about that. Now, you might say, Pastor, I'm going to check it. It's an urban legend. But I found that story and thought, wow, there she was making life belts, doing the best job she could, not knowing that what? That life belt would save her son. Not once, but twice as he went into the water. Again, Labor Day. All kinds of things about labor, strikes, wages, people upset. You know what? Be a Christian on the work job. Whether you're an employer, employee, management, worker, whatever you are, be a Christian on the job. Do the best you can. And again, if there's another man who's not a Christian, lady that has the same job you do, you be better than them at the same job. Give a little bit more. Let's be Christians wherever we go. Again, I just put this down at the end of it. It pays both in this life and in the life to come to do our very best. Father, I pray that you would make us willing laborers. And Lord, some work is hard. It's dirty. Again, it's not fun. But, Lord, it's necessary. And I pray, Lord, that You'll give us a heart to do the jobs in front of us, whether pleasant or not. Lord, to accept the wages that are offered to us, to do our best, to do more in our best, and, Lord, to be Christians on the job. Lord, again, thank You for a day tomorrow where we can take it easy and have a good time. But, Lord, then we got to go back to work, and help us to be good workers then, in Jesus' name. Amen.